This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
But every time that we sincerely open up our hearts and we let the Word of God in, we grow. The seed that's in us is being watered every single solitary time. This morning I want to talk to you about something that I think is really awesome. I'm calling it the law of gradual growth. It actually is a law. Everything grows, everything that's alive grows. But the interesting thing is you can't see it grow. You can stand and watch a tree all day and you'll never see it grow. You can go away and come back after a period of time, and you can say, boy, that's gotten bigger. So the more we watch things in our lives, the less we see. I'd like to say this, and I hope you get this. If you're the kind of person that's in a hurry, and I get that, that's still one of my things I have to watch all the time, because I'm very focused, very goal-oriented. And if I'm not careful, I can be so focused on getting where I'm going that I don't enjoy where I'm at. Now, we're going to talk today. I know it's early, but we're going to talk. What is the point in rushing to get somewhere if you don't enjoy the journey? Amen? And so, if you're the kind of person that's in a hurry, or you don't like waiting, being in a relationship with God is going to be very frustrating. I'm just going to say that one more time. Because there's people in here today, you are so frustrated that it's amazing the top of your head has not blown off. And I used to live like that all the time. And God began to teach me about grace and told me that frustration is works of the flesh. It's me trying to do what only God can do. And I love what Paul said. He said, we plant, we water, but only God can give the increase. So we need to do our part. We need to plant, we need to water, but then we trust God to give the increase, and we trust him to give it at the right time in the right way. We always think we're ready before we're ready. Well, God, I'm ready. Well, a little more growing. One more trip through the oven. The law of gradual growth. Genesis 8:22, right in the beginning of the Bible, a principle that works in everything. While the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night, it shall not cease. This is my opinion. I can't prove it. But I think that seed time should have been broken up even in the Bible. And I think it should have said, as long as the earth remains, there will be seed. There will be time. And there will be harvest. Because I don't think we get it the way it's written. It's like we think seed time is just all one thing. Throw your seed in the ground and boy, harvest. But actually time, I want you to get this today, time is just as important as the seed. You plant a seed, you give up some of your finances, you don't see a change overnight. You may not even see a change in a month. But if you keep being faithful and you give that seed time and you keep watering that with the word, your harvest day will come. It will come. Now, I'm not here this morning to talk about giving or to back up what they've been teaching you here about tithing, but I just want to tell you, if you've never done it, do it. And if you're doing it, keep doing it. And don't just do it for what you can get out of it. Do it because you love God and your harvest will come. There's no way you cannot get a harvest if you remain, listen to my word today, faithful. Faithful. Seed, time, and harvest. Everything functions based on this principle. A baby begins with a little seed in a woman's womb. A tree begins as a seed. A flower begins as a seed. Even a raging river somewhere begins as a little trickle. The Mississippi is a huge river, one of the biggest in America. It runs right through my city, so I picked that one. At its beginning, it's 20 to 30 feet wide. At its widest, it's 11 miles wide. We learn to walk one step at a time. God provides for us one day at a time. God guides us one step at a time. I was listening to one of Joel's podcasts last week, and he gave a great example that you probably remember if you were here when he said it, but he said in his car, he has a navigation system, and that navigation system shows him the whole journey. Take this road for 6 miles, turn right. Stay on this for 2 miles, turn left. But life's not like that. God doesn't give us the whole road map for where we're going. He says, get in the car and start driving. Amen. And then I particularly liked one of the things that he said on this teaching. He said that one day him and Victoria were going to a church somewhere and they had to take a back road to get there. And it just seemed like they were never going to get there. They were on this back road and couldn't see that much. And he began to think, we may be lost. You know, sometimes when it takes you a long time and you're not seeing much, you begin to think, we may be lost. Maybe this is not God's will after all. And those are testing times. And I really liked what he said. He said, it sure would have been nice if that lady on the GPS would have said, Joel, buddy, you're going in the right direction. Just keep going. But he said, as long as I kept going in that straight line, she never said one thing. Isn't that true? Sometimes you just think, God, if you'll just tell me that I'm going in the right direction. And I really like that message that I heard from Joel because he quoted me in it. Now, you'd have to be a preacher to get it, but when you're listening to another preacher preach and they quote you, you're like, wow. God guides us one step at a time. Everything grows so gradually that you can't see it grow. How many of you just feel like that you just need to be a lot further along spiritually than what you are, and you just don't feel like you're growing? You know what? If you're in this building today, you're growing. Honestly, if you're here today, if you got up and you showed up, and if you can even hear 20% of what I say, if you can just keep your mind in the room today for 10% of what I say, and believe me, our mind goes places when we're in church. You go to lunch, you go home and do things, you know, it's like, that's why it never hurts to listen to the messages over and over and over again. But every time that we sincerely open up our hearts and we let the Word of God in, we grow. The seed that's in us is being watered every single solitary time. We may begin to believe that we're not making any progress, but we are making progress. And I learned to say something years ago that has helped me so much, especially when I feel like nothing's happening. I open my mouth and say out loud, God is working. God is working. Because you know what? I don't know the reference right now, but there's a scripture that says, as long as we're believing, God is working. So if I keep believing, then God has to keep working, because that's the principle that he works by. Learn to say that when you feel really frustrated. God is working. I may not feel it, I may not see it, but God is working. I'm growing. Things are happening in my life. Now, God being God, being able to do anything, why do you suppose that he's arranged everything where it has to take so stinking long? I mean, why couldn't a woman get pregnant and next day she's got the baby? Well, I go through all that getting fat stuff and the hormone changes and, you know, the pain with the delivery and the mood swings and the morning sickness. I mean, why do we got to do all that? Why not just, I'm pregnant, I got a baby. For that matter, why did God take 6 days to create the world and then one day to rest? Why didn't he just do it? World. B. I'm going to tell you why. This is what I think. I think that God took some time doing it because he wanted to enjoy it. And I tell you something, I think that we need to take more time to enjoy the little successes we have, the little victories that we have. Folks, we are in way too big of a hurry. Just way too big of a hurry, and we're just rushing through life, and most of the time we're in such a hurry, we can't even remember by nightfall what we did all day. I do something at the end of every year, and sometimes I don't even wait till the year's up. I take my calendar and I just go through January and I look at every day, February and I look at every day, March and I look at every day. It helps me remember what I've done. And I actually keep my calendars. I've got a stack of them like this. And the other day I pulled out one. I just pulled one out of the pile and it was 9 years old. And I looked at that thing and I thought, man, my life has really calmed down since then. You know, as you gain years, you learn how to not work harder, but to work smarter. Amen. So I'm really big on let's learn how to enjoy life. We call our TV program Enjoying Everyday Life because I think there's a lot of people that are walking around breathing, but they're not enjoying very much of it. And I love John 10:10. Jesus came that we might have and enjoy life, and have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. Let's talk about pregnancy. And you know, to be honest, we get pregnant with different things, not just babies. You might be pregnant today with a dream or a vision for your life. It might be a dream to get out of debt. It might be a dream to have your marriage healed. It might be a dream to get married. It might be a dream to have children. But I hope everybody in here today has got some kind of a dream for your life, because God created us to want to grow, to want to go someplace. We're created to stretch and to reach out. But the Bible says, and I want you to listen to me, in Ecclesiastes 5, a dream comes to pass with painful effort and much business. It's easy to dream. Anybody can do that. But to see the fulfillment of your dreams, now that's another story. See, being in ministry is not just the pulpit. There's much business. And there's painful effort. Now, I want to say something, and I want you to remember this. The pregnancy is an important part of seeing your dream fulfilled, because that's where you have the anticipation, the expectancy, the wanting it, the not having it yet, the wanting it, the not having it yet. And without that, I don't think we can really appreciate what we have. I think that when we get things too quickly, we don't appreciate them. And to be honest, that's one of the things that's wrong in our society today. I mean, I've got 4 kids, and I've made some of the same mistakes that some of you are making, but we give kids too much, too quick, and they don't know how to really value it and appreciate it. And much of the time today, kids don't have to work for what we used to have to work for. And so don't be in such a hurry. Soak in the moment that you have. Don't be so anxious for your kids to start to kindergarten and drive their own car and go to college. And you know, your kids are going to be grown before you know it. Take the time to enjoy them a little bit. Today, it seems like a lot of people want everything free. Free. Free this, free that. Let the government do it. You know what? The government can't do you, can't give you anything if they don't take it away from somebody else. They don't have anything to give you. So really, when somebody says, well, you know, the government's going to do that. No, it's not. Somebody else's taxes is doing that. Somebody that's working for what they've got is doing that. And we want to help people that are really needy. There's no doubt about that. But you know what? There is free actually just doesn't exist. We talk about free grace, and grace is free to us, but it sure costs Jesus a lot. Amen. You can come and sit in a church service. You don't have to give. You don't have to do nothing. The lights are on. Air conditioning's on. Place is beautiful. You come sit down. You don't have to do anything. You can just get it downloaded free, but it costs somebody something. Somebody had to do the work. Somebody had to pay the bills. And it's good for us when we have to wait. I don't know if you're going to like my message today or not, but it's good for us when we have to wait. Because when we wait for something, that's the only way that we can really, really, really appreciate it when we get it. I mean, it's nice. You know, I'm sure that, you know, my kids are going to enjoy whatever inheritance they get when Dave and I are gone. Who wouldn't like to get somebody else's stuff? And they're going to enjoy that, and they're going to appreciate it. But you know what? They could. There's no way they could appreciate it like I appreciate it, because I've had to work for it. So let's just be careful about wanting everything too quick. Proverbs 13:11 says it plainly. Wealth not earned but won in haste, or unjustly, or from the production of things for vain or detrimental use, such riches will dwindle away. But he who gathers little by little will increase his riches. Let's don't have an entitlement attitude. None of us are owed anything. Mark chapter 4. Verse 26 and 27. I love this scripture. A man plants seed, and then it says he continues sleeping and rising, and it grows, but he knows not how. I like to say it another way. A farmer puts his seed into the ground, or we put our seed of faith in the ground, or we put our offering in church, or whatever it might be. And we go to bed and get up, go to bed and get up, go to bed and get up, go to bed and get up. And you know, sometimes in life, just going to bed and getting up, and going to bed and getting up, and driving in traffic, and going to work, and emptying the trash, and changing the diapers, and paying the bills, it just gets really old. And the sad thing is a lot of people give up, and they want something new to do. And you know what? New things are great, and there are seasons in our life when we need new things. I like to find a new restaurant. I like to get a new outfit. New things are good. But there's other things that we don't need to trade off for something new. We need to stick with it. The person you're married to is one of them. You don't get to go trade off the one you got every 6 or 7 years just because you want something new. See, we think when the goosebumps and the excitement's gone, it's time for something new. Isn't it true? Now, Dave and I have been married 50 years. 5-0. 50 years to one man. And I love my man. I love Dave. He couldn't be here this weekend because he had a real bad cough. But I called him. I said, don't worry, I talked about you a lot last night. I said, I even told some stuff on you that you haven't heard yet. But I'm going to be honest with you. I love Dave. I'm in love with Dave. But my heart doesn't pound when he walks in the door. When he kisses me, my knees don't go weak. I don't get little goosebumps, you know. Matter of fact, when we were first married, first several years we were married, I mean, When we sleep in bed, we were like glued together. I mean, I was like, I'd hug up to his back. And of course, then Dave's pretty tall and we had a regular sized bed. So we had to turn in unison. You know, if I turned, he had to turn. If he turned, I had to turn. So we just kind of stayed glued to each other all night. And the way we went to sleep is he would put his arm out and I'd lay in his arm. Well, 50 years later, we have split mattresses. I'm like, do not get on my side of the bed. And we have split mattresses. Now, we're in the same bed, but we have a mattress. We've got two different twin mattresses because when he turns over, I don't want my side of the bed to shake. And I tell you, when Dave and I were first married, I just wanted him to hover over me all the time. I just wanted him to be there and hover over me. Now I'm not, don't hover. Don't, you know, go somewhere. But here's the thing. Now, listen, I didn't even really know what love was then. Honestly and truly, what I had then was goosebumps and excitement and a good-looking man. But now I know the price of loving somebody for 50 years and not giving up, even though there were many times when I wanted to give up, not doing it. And let me tell you something. The end of a thing is so much better than the beginning. The Bible says that. The end of a thing is so much better than the beginning. Don't give up on stuff. Don't give up on yourself. I know, you know, listen, I was divorced when I was in my 20s. I know sometimes you got to, my husband was unfaithful and he was a thief and all kinds of things. There's times when you got to call it quits. But don't just throw in the towel because you don't have goosebumps anymore. Don't just give it up because you're not excited about it anymore. You don't have to go find a new church because you don't get excited every time you come in the door now. We need to be faithful to things. Faithful. Things are changing all the time in our lives. And you know, I think one of the most important things for people to do is just not to give up. Just not to quit and don't give up. Don't give up on people. Don't give up on the other people in your life. Don't ever look at somebody, no matter how big of a mess they are, and say, you're never going to change. Don't ever do that. My son right now that runs our world missions and is, my gosh, he's been so vital. I mean, we have mission works all over the world, and every one of them he's had his hands into and been involved in starting. And I came really close to just kicking him out of the ministry many years ago. I remember where I was at on the road and I said, I'm not doing this anymore. His personality was a lot like mine and we just fought all the time and he was rebellious and I wasn't going to put up with it. And you know, it's not always easy to have your kids work for you. And I was ready to call it quits. And I still remember so clearly God said to me, don't give up on David. Maybe there's somebody in your life right now that you're just thinking about giving up on. And maybe God just sent you here today just to hear me say, don't give up. Don't give up on them. And you know what? Even if you got to get away from somebody, you still don't have to give up on them. You can still believe that God can work in their life and God can change them. My father was so mean and abusive all of his life. And I kept praying for him and praying for him. I didn't do it every day. I didn't do it all day long. But I would always come back to asking God to save him, asking God to save him. He was 80 years old when he finally gave his heart to the Lord. He only had 3 years with Jesus, but you know what? I'm so glad that I never gave up on him. Don't give up on people. God will never give up on you, and you should never give up on anybody else. Let's talk about being faithful for a minute. You know, one of the questions that I get asked all the time is, well, what's next for Joyce Meyer Ministries? And sometimes the question kind of pressures me. Because when you've been doing it this long, there's not always a next. What's your vision now? Love God, help people. And I heard that somebody said something recently that, well, it bothered me. They said, well, you know, the ministry just doesn't have any new vision anymore. And I, you know, the person was in their 20s, so I'm going to look over it. But but anyway, because I hear that some, you know, because I really don't. I don't have anything new. I'm just being faithful to what God's given me to do. I just keep turning up. I just keep showing up. I just keep getting another message and writing another book. And I, you know, just keeping on, keeping on. And so I went to God with it because I thought, you know, maybe I have lost my edge. maybe you need to get me stirred up again. Now, we constantly have new vision within our vision. You know, we're always looking for new ways to get the word to people. And I could stand here and tell you stories about some of the things we're doing that are just mind-boggling with all the technology we have today, but I won't really take the time to do that because that's not the message. But we're not without vision, but I don't have any urgency to go do something new. I don't want to reinvent the wheel. My wheel's rolling just fine. And I see some of that at Lakewood. Our pastor, our staff pastor's here with us. We got so many employees, we got to have a pastor to pastor the employees. And he's a great man, and he said, I think it's so great that a church this size takes the time to pray with people individually. You know, I don't remember being anywhere where I've seen that. And you know what? They've done that as long as I've been coming here. And I said, yeah, you know, I said, Lakewood, they found what works for them, and they just keep doing it. 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 You got to be very careful that this urgency for new is not just a trait of the flesh. We got to be very careful. Like I said, there are new things. God leads us into new things, but we need to make sure that when we start something new, that it's God, and that we've counted the cost and we plan to finish it. Because I'll tell you what, I am much more excited about a finisher than I am a starter. And I just wonder how many people God leads them to start something, but they never finish it. I love what the Apostle Paul said in Acts 20. None of these things move me, he said. Neither do I count my life dear unto myself, if only I might finish my course with joy. With joy. You think at the age that I am and as many years as I've done this that I don't get tired of it sometimes? One more hotel room? You know the thing that I hate the worst about hotel rooms? You want me to tell you what I dislike the worst? For some reason, they don't think that you need any light. I mean, they're all dark. I seriously thought yesterday, I'm going to start traveling with a lamp. And I'm going to get me one that's got big, bright bulbs in it, and I'm going to take the shade off that dude, and I'm going to put it in my room, and I am going to have light. Amen? Now, that's a small thing, you know, but nonetheless, when you've done this for 40 years, you're just like, could I just have a little light in the room where I'm at? I'm married 50 years. I've been teaching the word now 41 years. I've written 130 books. I'm being faithful to what God has called me to do. Because when my time comes, I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the blessings of the Lord. You know, I like to use this example sometimes. How many of you have ever put together a jigsaw puzzle? Okay. Anybody ever done a real big one? I mean, like a huge one. You know, when you go out and you buy a jigsaw puzzle, which sometimes I'll actually bring, I got a 5,000 piece puzzle that I'll bring with me to show this sometimes. But when you go out and buy a jigsaw puzzle, you buy it because you like the picture on the box. Well, God uses that same stuff on us. Yeah, you got it. He gives us a picture. We see ourselves skinny. And that's great until we're hungry. We decide we're gonna get in shape. We join the gym January 1st. I know a man that owns a gym, and he said 60% of all the people that sign up and pay monthly never come. I think it makes people feel good just to think that they have a gym membership. Well, you know, it's obvious if you have known me for a while that I've lost quite a bit of weight. Well, I 2 years ago, I started walking, and I walk 5 miles every day. I mean, unless the weather doesn't permit or I'm traveling. And 13 years ago, I started working out at the gym. Well, on the days that I work out and walk, it's a 2.5 hour commitment. And a couple weeks ago, I was downstairs working out with my trainer, and I'd already walked probably 3 of my 5 miles, and I heard my flesh. You know, your flesh will talk. You know, and sometimes you need to stand back and just listen to it and say, you know, you are really stupid. Because our flesh just doesn't have brain one, and it's not going to do one thing to help us. So we need to know when and it was actually funny. I told my trainer, my flesh just said this to me. He's a Christian, so he got it. I said, and I heard my flesh say this, and it was really funny. It was a real pitiful voice. And my flesh said, am I going to have to do this the rest of my life? Am I going to have to walk 5 miles every day the rest of my life? Am I going to have to come to this gym 3 days a week the rest of my life and do this? And I said, yes, that's exactly what we're going to do. You know why? Because I like the result I'm getting. But listen to me, you don't get the result if you don't put in the effort. I mean, some people go buy a skinny pair of jeans and hang them up and say, that's my dream. It's like buying the puzzle with the picture on the box. Now, here's the thing. Oh, look at my puzzle that I'm going to work. Then you dump that baby upside down, and all those pieces come out, and you think, oh. And here's the thing that's interesting about a puzzle, especially if you buy a scenery picture. 60% of that thing is blue sky and green grass. Maybe even 70 or 80%. Blue sky, green grass, green trees. And that's the way life is sometimes. Have you ever been putting together a puzzle and you got so sick of blue sky? You thought, if I have to look for one more piece of blue sky and try to find the right place to put it, I'm going to pull my hair out. Have you ever been putting together a puzzle and you're trying to make a piece? Come on, that's the way we are with our life. This piece is going to fit in here. I don't care what, it's going to fit in there. Some of you are doing that right now. You got a piece in your life that you're trying to make go somewhere because you don't really know. You haven't found the right place for it yet, so you're trying to make it go somewhere and it doesn't fit, and you're miserable. Come on. The blue sky and the green grass is the getting up and going to bed, the getting up and going to bed, the getting up and going to bed. The few moments in my life that I do this, which I really enjoy, the few moments that I do this are nothing compared to all the time that I have to do the stuff to get up here and do this. Amen? I just so much don't want people to give up. I got a word burning in my heart about faithfulness. You know, back when I was a teenager and first went to work in my 20s, it was not uncommon for people to have the same job their whole life. And now people job hop like crazy. You know, it's fine if you really need to go get another job. I'm not telling you can't change jobs, but you know what? Don't change jobs every time you turn around just to get another 20 cents an hour. There's more to life than just how much money you make. Maybe sometimes you leave some place where God wants you to stay for a while. Come on, don't go unless God says go, and don't stay unless God says stay. It's time that we stop doing what we feel like doing and start doing what God really wants us to do. You know why? Now listen to what I'm going to say. Maybe you're somewhere right now and you don't want to be there. I won't even ask for a show of hands. Maybe you're in a job you don't like, in a relationship you don't like, and everything in you wants to run away from it. But you know what? If you run away before God's done with it, you will not get the experience that you need that is going to help you in the next place you go. I've got a message that I did recently, and I've been doing it, you know, if I go somewhere where I'm not filming because I can't put the same stuff on TV all the time, just about the value of experience. See, some of you don't like what's going on in your life right now, but you're getting experience. And who doesn't want a worker that's got some experience? The first thing that people ask when you go and apply for a job is, do you have any experience? And to be honest, a lot of times that's more important to people than education. A college degree is good, but do you have any experience? I know people who get out of college and they got a degree and they don't know nothing. I mean, just they think they know everything, and that's the sad thing, because when you think you know everything, that already is proof you don't know anything. Did you hear what I said? When you think you know everything, that's proof in itself that you don't know anything. Because you really realize when you're about 50, I don't know anything. Everything I thought I knew, I was wrong. God, you're the only one that knows anything. Now teach me. Now teach me. We can't be taught anything until we stop thinking we know everything. And God is looking for experienced workers. I love what the Bible says in Hebrews 5:8, that Jesus gained experience through the things that he suffered, and that equipped him to be the high priest of our salvation. Come on now. He gained experience through the things that he suffered, and that equipped him to be the high priest of our salvation. Pastor Mike and I were talking earlier about a job that we both had at the same place at one time. We didn't have the same job, but we both worked at the same place. And there was a lot of good things, but man, there was a lot of hard stuff too. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that just wasn't right, and people weren't always treated right, and there was very little appreciation, and just a lot of stuff. But you know what? It was so hard to stay because I had a vision. I had a dream, and that piece didn't seem to fit anywhere in what I saw on the box. But oh my gosh, I wouldn't trade those days now for anything. And you know what? I wasn't treated too good. But you know what I learned? I learned a very valuable lesson. I learned how not to treat people. And I'll tell you something, we are good to the people that work for us. And we appreciate them, and we compliment them, and we do things for them, and we pay them the same salary that they could make if they were doing that job out in the world somewhere. People shouldn't be paid less just because they work for a ministry. We should be treating people well. Amen? Just think twice before you decide to run away from something just because it doesn't give you goosebumps anymore. Maybe you need to just stick it out for just a little bit longer. And you know, I've kind of found in my life, when I just want to go, it's usually not God. And usually when I've settled in and I'm ready to stay and then God says go, by then I don't want to go. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. That was Dave's scripture that he got when he was confirmed in the Lutheran church. I guess that happens at about 12 years old. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. You know what? There is no way that you can understand how faithful my husband has been to sit in the front row and listen to me and watch me do this for 35 years. I've been in ministry 40 years, but I've been doing this for 35 years. And even those first 5 years, we had a home Bible study and we'd all sit around in a circle in the living room floor. He was in every one of those meetings too. Everyone. Faithful. Just being faithful. Just being faithful. Just being faithful. He may not look to everybody like he's doing as much as I am, but let me tell you something, he's liable to get a greater reward than me. I think listening to me for 40 years might be harder than doing what I'm doing. And the thing is, I told him one time, I don't know how you do that. He said, oh, I love it. I love it. When God gives you the grace to do something, it's not hard for you to do it. Let me tell you something. If you're just being faithful in prayer, if you're being faithful in the word, if you're being faithful in your giving, you're the kind of person that God is looking for when he's looking for somebody to promote. Well, it's not exciting anymore. You know what? I don't imagine that Jesus being on that cross was very exciting either. When I was thinking about this thing about, do I need a new vision? Have I lost my edge? Am I getting old? You know what? Don't ever come under that pressure. I especially just speak that to Joel and to Paul, the people that, Lisa, the people that are leaders here in this church. Don't ever come under that pressure of feeling like you got to do something new now just to excite people. What we need to do is just be faithful. Just keep doing. You know, just keep going to Africa and operating on people. Just keep going. Just keep getting up every Sunday morning and starting with something funny. And, you know, you listen to Joel's teachings, and I mean, I can repeat the first 4 minutes. This is my Bible. Now, I like to start with something funny. Then you tell something funny. And that's good. It's good. Amen. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. When I was thinking about that business of do I need something new, the Lord brought my attention. It was just like God was just speaking in my heart and showing me things. He said, did Jesus do something new every time he turned around? No, he had a vision. He had a dream. He had an assignment. He came and he did it. And what did he do? He preached the gospel. He helped people. Period. You know, vision is like kind of like a Christian buzzword. And we got to be careful that we don't get too carried away. I don't need something that sounds impressive to get everybody else excited. What I need to do is what God has told me to do, and I need to be faithful to that. Even if it gets to the point where it is super boring, I still need to be faithful to that. Amen? Does anybody need this today? I've got a word of advice for you. This is something Winston Churchill said. I just heard this and I love it. If you feel like you're going through hell, just keep going. That's good. I like that. And that's what I've had to do a lot of my life. Just keep going. Just keep going when you're working yourself to the bone and somebody decides they want to criticize you or judge you. Just put your head down and just keep going. Just keep going. Just keep going. And then I thought about Paul. Paul didn't do something different every time he turned around. They preached the gospel. They love people. That's what all of our assignment is. Share the word. Love people. Show Jesus to the world. It doesn't have to be fancy. We just need to be faithful. Moses was faithful in all of the household of God. Jesus is a faithful high priest. God is faithful. Faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. Be thou faithful unto death, and you will receive the crown of life. Hebrews 6:12, in order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, that means lazy. And you know what? When God first touched my life back in the 70s, and I'd been a Christian for a long time, but I didn't have any fire in my life. When the Holy Ghost touched me back in the 70s, oh man, everything was so exciting. Lord, it was exciting. Every scripture I read was new and exciting. I mean, we would go to church. We didn't think, a 25-minute sermon would have been almost like an insult back in those days. Hour and 15 minutes, an hour and a half. Every church service was 3 hours, maybe longer. And there was a season, and there was an anointing on it for that time. But it was so exciting. You know, it's not as exciting anymore, but I'm being faithful. And I'm going to keep being faithful until Jesus comes back to get me. Hey, I got a lot of years into this. I'm going to finish. I want to be a finisher.
Wow, what great advice for all of those decisions that we are making in our life all the time, the big decisions, the small decisions, and encouragement to be a finisher. We don't have to do this on our own. We have help. And as Joyce was saying, we really need to seek God anytime we want to make a change in what we're doing and make sure it really is His will for us and not just something we've decided on our own. Those are hard things in life, but that's why we have the Holy Spirit, and that's why when we seek God, He promises that we will find Him. We need to be faithful in whatever He asks us to do. There is so much gold in God's Word. The Bible is not just a book that you pick up and read and put down and go on like nothing ever changed in your life, because there is so much in there that is transformative. So we want to make sure that you have a Bible in your hands that will help you understand the importance of being a finisher and making the right choices and thinking the right way. Joyce has a Bible called the Battlefield of the Mind Bible. And in this Bible, it not only has all of the Word of God, but it has highlighted those scriptures that help you know how to think. And it has some special notes and encouragement from Joyce's teachings as well. I think you're going to love it. It's great to study. It's great to make sure that when you have those big life decisions, when you are thinking about quitting and maybe you should not, you can turn to God's Word. And I promise you, like I said before, when you seek Him, you will find Him. Contact us today and pick up that Battlefield of the Mind Bible. I think you'll love it. We love you and we appreciate you being here with us. We'll see you next time.
New from Joyce Meyer, a study Bible designed to help you renew your thoughts, the Battlefield of the Mind Bible. With insight from Joyce's best-selling book, Battlefield of the Mind, paired with the scriptures that inspired them. Explore God's Word in a deeper way to help you learn to think how God thinks, gain practical truths for overcoming life's challenges, train your mind for ultimate victory, and more. The Battlefield of the Mind Bible. Renew your mind through the power of God's Word. From Joyce Meyer. Receive your copy today for your gift of $40 or more. Call 1-800-727-9673 or go to joycemeyer.org.
Let me give you a great example of how Project Girl works. You see, God's love represented here has totally changed my life. Now, all I need to do is share it with another woman or girl.
If you are a medical care professional, we need your help. In fact, people all over the world need your help. And it's an opportunity that will change your life as well. You see, through our volunteer medical trips, we travel all over the world to places that are very remote and have desperate need of health care. So go to our website, check out the schedules, and join us right here. We hope to see you soon.
For more information, visit joycemeyer.org. This program has been made possible by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.